This reading is taken from the Bible, Matthew chapter 1, and verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet.
This virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,
which means
God
with us.
This reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 14. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, and she placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests.
Presents these days, it's getting hard, especially for you parents. Those of you who still got parents, or husbands to be honest, quite hard to buy husbands too. But parents, I was in a year 5-6 class the other day, asking what they wanted for Christmas, and it was just like that. I had iPads, I had iPhones, I had some things I'd never even heard of. I had Xbox 360s and PlayStation 7s or whatever they're on these days. And then one child turned to me and said, Oh, my mum and dad don't know, so I'll just have the money and sort it myself. At the age of 10, what's going on at the age of 10? Presents at Christmas gets hard, and it's tough for you parents and it's tough for you wives to sort those men out. Last Christmas, here's a test, I was sharing how I got a bit disillusioned with Christmas presents as a grown-up. That presents weren't actually that cool, and that actually Christmas wasn't as a happier time for me. You can check it on the website, it's still there, there's a blog there. But I got over that, you're glad to know. I got over the sadness of having bad presents at Christmas. There was one thing to do with presents that I still haven't got over at the fine old age of, well, older than then. So I still, and it's to do with birthdays, birthday parties. It's probably the selfish little boy still inside me. But when other boys and girls would come to my party, they'd bring me presents, lovely. We'd do the party with the food and all that stuff. And then, as they left, I would give them a present. I would give them a party bag full of nice things that I wouldn't have minded keeping for myself. So at my birthday party, I would give a gift to someone else. And that really got me. And I still haven't got over it as an adult, to be honest. But party bags. But here, as we celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday today, I want to tell you about a gift that he has got for you and for us on his birthday. As we come to celebrate Christmas, Jesus Christ's birthday, he has got a gift for us. We've been thinking about it in church, what Jesus brings. Last week we were thinking about light. Next week we're going to be thinking about joy. And today we're thinking about peace. Jesus Christ's gift to us is peace. And in those verses from Isaiah that Dave read at the start, he told us that Jesus would be Prince of Peace. that when Jesus came, the new king came, there would be a new world order, and that would be a peaceful one. But you only have to look around to see that it's not that peaceful. You only have to see our kids getting up on the stage today to realize that it's not peaceful. But in the world, we look around and there's not that much peace. But the promise wasn't for then. The promise is for a new world order to come. I know, because Isaiah talks about it in the next chapter. He has a vision of what this peace will look like. Now, you have to bear with me. Some of these visions of these prophets are a bit wacky. But this is a good one. This is what Isaiah says a couple of chapters later when he's talking about this peace in chapter 11. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. A little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covered the sea. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for people, and its place of rest will be glorious. Now I know this is talking about a future peace because I have seen wildlife shows, and I'm sure you've seen them too, where there's a little gazelle or a goat enjoying themselves in a field, skipping around out in South Africa somewhere or in the jungle. And the leopard or the lion is hiding behind a bush, watching the gazelle or the goat enjoying themselves, merrily leaping. You have some nice spring music, and then the music goes quiet. And within a flash, the lion or the gazelle vroom, jumps out. The lion or the leopard comes and takes the gazelle, takes the goat, and takes it home for tea. And I don't mean to give it a cup of tea, I mean to eat it. And we know that this Isaiah's vision of peace is not here now, because that could not happen. I've seen it at the zoo where they throw in the mice or the rats into the snakes. It's not good. And I do know that this is a future peace, because I am not going to let my sons play with cobras anytime soon. And if I was to, you probably would think I'm a pretty... you definitely think I was a bad father. No, probably about it. So this is not talking about a time of peace now. It's talking about a time of peace to come. And although Isaiah's vision is a bit weird, it tells of wonderful truths. It tells of a time coming in the future where all fear will be gone. That's what real peace is, no fear. There'll be no hostility, even amongst the animals. He's talking of a time coming when nature itself will be at peace. We've observed again over the last few weeks of nature, of floods, taking lives. Nature itself will be at peace. There'll be no enemies in this. Amongst the animal kingdom, there won't be enemies. Amongst us and animals and against people, there'll be no enemies. There'll be no schoolyard fight. There will be no danger. And that is the peace that Jesus brings. And that is the peace that Christmas brought. A peace with no danger. No enemies, no natural hazards, a peace that we can inherit and live in. And that peace is to come. It's a peace that Jesus brought at Christmas, but it's a peace that is to come. But that peace isn't for everybody. The peace is open to everybody, and that's the last gift of Christmas, the ultimate gift of Christmas. When Jesus came, he brought peace of another kind. He brought peace between people and God, because people and God are enemies, natural enemies, not because of God, but because people chose to do their own thing. They chose to rebel and go their own way. We chose to be masters of our own lives instead of following God. And that made us enemies with God. We put a wedge between ourselves and with God. But when Jesus came to bring peace, he came to live as a baby. And he came to die on the cross that we remember at Easter. He became man, he became a person, so that he could take that punishment away. So that he could go in that place, that he could stand as the enemy, stand and take God's wrath upon himself. Take all that punishment that was meant for us because we were enemies with God. He could take that on himself at the cross so that we could have peace with God. That we could have friendship with God. That we wouldn't be enemies, that relationship would be fixed. See, when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, was born at Christmas, He brought about a future, a peaceful future, a future we don't have to be afraid in, where there's no danger, where there's no enemy, where there's no harm. That future is an inheritance for God's people. And that invitation is open to anyone because of what Jesus did on the cross. He came so that we could have peace with God, that we could have friendship with God, that one day we would enjoy that future peace, but actually right now, here on earth, before anything new, that we can enjoy friendship with God and knowing Him. Hannah was watching on the TV last night. I was zoned out on the computer, but she was watching one of these awful One Born Every Minute programs. And there was a woman on there who was saying, I've just had this gap in my life for such a long time, and I think having a baby will sort that out for me. I think that woman will realise that having kids won't sort out that gap in her life. Kids are great. She'll have a wonderful time. A few shocks as well. But she'll have a wonderful time. But that gap inside your life is a want for peace. The reason we don't like what goes on in the world is because we want peace. But we won't know this peace until we accept Jesus Christ as our Saviour. So we invite Jesus Christ in and say, thank you for this peace that you brought at Christmas time. Let me know that in my own heart now. Let me know friendship with God. Let me know what it means not to be an enemy of God and be in relationship with Him. And then eventually let me enjoy this future inheritance with no fear, no danger, no natural hazard, no pain, no suffering, but peace forever. When we talk about Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, it's a peace for the future, but a peace we can have now. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you brought peace at Christmas. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your one and only Son to die for us. You sent him to become a man, to be born as a baby, and you sent him to die so that we can have friendship with you. Thank you for the Prince of Peace. I pray now that we would know him this Christmas. We would know peace in our own lives. Lord, we would see some elements of peace in our world. But Lord, we now pray that we would know peace in our hearts. We pray that we would know the Prince of Peace as our Lord and Saviour. We thank you for Christmas. We pray you bless our time. We'd enjoy it together. But let us think of the real reason of Jesus Christ. Amen.